If you have your Bible, and it's in the bulletin, we're going to be at Psalm 148. So Book of Psalms, middle of the Bible, there's 150, so right toward the end. If you hit Proverbs, just go a little bit back to the left, and you're there at Psalm 148. Now Psalm 148 was written to bring joy, happy, smile. When you read Psalm 148, as you contemplate about God, you're supposed to smile, and it was also probably designed for you to sing together, which we will right after we get done with the sermon. And what angle of God is going to be primarily, he's the creator and upholds the world with his continuing providence. Now, in the Presbyterian tradition, we sing psalms, and especially in the denomination we're in, the ARP, Associate Reformed Presbyterian, we're well known for singing psalms. Not every single church, but as a general rule. Now, in the ARP, there's sort of three psalms you're supposed to know. You should know all of them, but there's three that sort of, you know, if you were in this denomination for 50, 100 years, you would know these things. And the first one is on the seal, and the seal has a whole bunch of stuff on it. It's all hard to see, but there's a little flag at the bottom or banner, and it has Psalm 36, verse 9, second half. In thy light, King James, shall we see light. In thy light, in God's light, that will illumine the rest of the world. So that's Psalm 36, verse 9. You ought to know that one. Another one is Psalm 133. Since 1782, at the end of every presbytery meeting, at the end of every annual meeting we call synod, they sing Psalm 133. That's another sermon. And then the third one, which is ours today, there's sort of the most fun singing anthem. I've had several people tell me it's the fight song, like a college fight song at a football game or something, is Psalm 148. It's happy, and actually in the ARP tradition, there's two tunes that we sing, and they're both kind of happy tunes. And I realize probably most of you did not grow up in the ARP, and most of you don't go to the annual meeting where we sing these kind of happy psalms, but hopefully you'll think it's happy when we sing it after the sermon. And the tune does match with the intent of Psalm 148, which is sort of, be happy, your God is the God, is the true God, as we're going to see. Okay, Psalm 148 itself, before I read it, it's broken into two nice sections. The first six verses are basically, who should praise God? Everybody, angels, all kinds of stars, everybody, up there stuff, praise God. And then you get to verse 7, and oh, what, you know what? Everybody down here on earth, praise God. In essence, everybody, praise God, up and down. And then there's sort of two choruses. With the first one, with the heavens, if you look at verse 5 and 6, they're going to be the choruses, so to speak. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And then you get to verse 7, that starts the earth, and then, so to speak, the chorus of the earth part is verses 13 and 14. It's a nice, broken down, very easy psalm. And let me read this great psalm for you. Psalm 148, and I'll throw in some Hebrew here and there, and we'll talk about Hebrew a little later. Okay, it starts off in your English, praise the Lord, but that's hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all the angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all ye shining stars, praise him you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens, let them, all that heaven stuff, praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Ye great sea creatures, all deeps, fire, hail, snow, and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all their rulers, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above both the earth and the heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. And then the psalm ends, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us the joy of knowing you and praising you from this psalm, because it's a reality that you are worth praising. I pray this in the name of the triune God, especially in Christ. Amen. Let's look at the first four verses. This is the heavens part. And you see verse 1, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens. Now, in the Bible, the word heavens usually has three different meanings depending on the context. Heavens can be where God is. Heavens can be where the stars are. Heavens can be where the birds are. God, stars, birds. And here, really, heavens, it's where God is, the stars are, and then partially into the earth's atmosphere. Sort of the clouds are up there, as we're going to see. So praise him from the heavens. And then if you notice verse 2, praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. Hosts or armies is probably all the angelic creatures. It may include all those that have died and have gone to heaven also that are up there. And then notice verse 3, praise him, sun, moon, shining stars, praise him, ye highest heavens. That may be the planets, we're not sure. And ye waters above the heavens, that would be the clouds. So it's sort of where God is all the way down to the clouds. And they're the rain clouds. Now, interestingly, notice that he goes from sort of moral creatures, angels, but he also includes sun, moon, you know, inanimate objects. And as you probably know, many times in the Bible, it'll talk about God's created things praising, speaking his praises. Psalm 119:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his handiwork. That there are animate objects, well, angels, moral objects, and stars in their own ways praise the Lord. So a believer looks out at the stars, at the sun, at our own bodies, that they work, and we go, wow, that says God is great, because we know who made it. Now, to get the sense of fun and joy in the psalm, I'm going to have to give a little Hebrew lesson. Quiz on Monday. Okay. Bear with me, and if it goes over your head, fair enough. Ask one of the seminary students. Okay. It has to do with this word, hallelujah. And I assume you've heard that word. Okay. Okay, there's a verb, halal, to praise. And if you want to make an imperative, like you, the group, praise, you say, hallelujah. You, the group, praise. And then in proper Hebrew, you have to put a direct object marker. Like, praise the pianist. We'd say, hallelujah et the pianist. Praise the nursery workers. Hallelujah et the nursery workers. So that's how they would do it. And if you look, not at the first word, praise the Lord, look at the second one. It says, praise the Lord, second place. So that's the more proper. Hallelu, et, and the word Lord is Yahweh. So hallelu, et, Yahweh. That's the normal way you would do it. However, in poetry, and sometimes in kind of a fun way, you goof around with the grammar. And so the first word in the psalm, where it says praise the Lord, and from the English you can't tell the difference, it's really hallelu, praise, and it skips the et, the object marker, and then it just shortens Yahweh to Yah. So it's hallelu, Yah. Hallelujah. There's a J in there, but that's Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English, German then English. Just pronounce the J like a Y, so don't worry about it. Hallelujah. So that's like a fun thing. It starts out, hallelujah. And in fact, in the Psalms, it comes 23 times, hallelujah. And if you'll notice, go back, if you have a Bible, go back to 146. The final five Psalms, 46, 47, 48, 50, they all start with this fun word, hallelujah. And you'll see praise the Lord in your English. And they all end with hallelujah. All five of those Psalms. This is the fun part. The word hallelujah is also used a bunch in Psalm 113 to 118. So it's sort of a purposeful goofing around with the grammar. And it's a fun word, hallelujah. Adding to the fun, notice verse 2, praise him. And it's going to go through it six times. Verse 2, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, blah, 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 six times. Now, when you have a pronoun, you can scrap the direct object marker. And guess what the word him is in Hebrew? Who. So it's to say praise him, it's hallelu, who. Hallelu. So when you look at this Hebrew, it's the beginning's going to be hallelujah, then the proper hallelu et Yahweh, and then he's going to go six times in a row, hallelu, hallelu, hallelu. Were any of you in like camps, Christian camps, that they had this little song, hallelu, 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 hallelu? Anybody? Okay, got a couple. The older people. Oh, I see a younger hand back there. Look at that one. hallelu, hallelu, praise. Okay. So he's purposely doing this to make it fun. Hopefully you're smiling, right? Hallelujah, hallelu et Yahweh, hallelu, hallelu. I can't even say it six times that quickly. Okay. End of the quiz section of the sermon. Okay, now the five and six. Okay, so he gives it everybody all the heaven stuff, and now comes, so to speak, the chorus. Let them praise, and another version of hallelu, hallelu. Let them praise the name of the Lord, all of them in their appropriate ways. Why? Many reasons to praise the Lord. Here, he commanded, meaning he spoke, think Genesis 1, he spoke them into being. He commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He didn't just make them at the beginning. He's running them. The continuing providence. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. He is the creator and continuing providence maker of all things. Our God, not somebody else's God, our God is that. Therefore, because that's true, he made everything, including the angels, including the sun, the moon, the stars, they all praise him. And that should make you feel good. Okay, verse 7. Here he uses the proper grammar, hallelujah et Yahweh. Praise the Lord from the earth. Okay, first one was from the heavens. Now he's from the earth. And here, think of like just below the clouds down, something like that. So, verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, ye great sea creatures, like whales. Some older versions had dragons. Well, the dragons will be a little later. Great sea creatures, and all deeps, so that's the oceans. fire and hail, snow and mist. By the way, notice here he starts with inanimate objects and moves toward mortal creatures, humans, which is the reverse of the beginning. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind that fulfills his word. That even the wind does what he's supposed to have it do. And his word, his creative word, is continuing providence. There's a bunch of times in the Bible that it talks about God even controls the wind, because that was like thought to be, can't even see it, and he's still controlling that. 9, mountains, hills, fruit trees, cedars, beasts, livestock, creeping things, that's probably reptiles, flying birds. And by the way, I don't know if you're noticing, if your brain's running back to chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, a lot of the same exact words. Creeping things comes up a bunch of times, if that one sticks out to you. Then he gets to humans, verse 11. Kings of the earth, all peoples. See, he starts with the sort of the highest, so to speak. Princes, all rulers of the earth, young men, maidens, together, old men, children, all humans. They should, not that they do, but they should praise the Lord. Then he gets to 13. Now again, the chorus, notice how it's going to parallel verse 5. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above both of them, the earth and heaven, everything. Now what about verse 14? He has raised up a horn. Now you need to know horn, like an animal horn. Horn is a power word, and it usually means a king, power or the king. God has raised up a king, a Messiah for his people, and that will be praise for all his saints, because the Messiah will do things for his people. What people? The people of Israel who are near to him. Hallelujah. So the horn here is ultimately Christ. In Mary's Magnificat, if you can remember it, in Luke chapter 1, or sorry, Zechariah's prophecy, that's right. God raised up a horn of salvation for us, the house of his servant David, speaking of Christ as the horn of salvation. So here, note that yes, the people are sinners, but the Messiah is going to come and will bring grace to all of his people. So here we have God the Redeemer, so to speak, in verse 14. It was God the Creator in 1 through 13. Now this word, hallelujah, why do you know that word? You ever think about it? Why do you happen to know that Hebrew word? Look, in your English Bibles, it didn't say the word hallelujah, it just said pray. Oh, little trick there. It will say it in, there's four places in the New Testament where the New Testament writers just take the Hebrew word and put it in the Greek letters. And so, hence, then the translators just do that too and say the word hallelujah. And that's in Revelation chapter 19. It comes up four times, of which the most famous is 19:6, if you want to look that up later. And I heard it were the voice of great multitude, the voice of many waters, the voice of many thundering, saying, and this is as Christ has won the victory, and here's what they sing in heaven after Christ has won the victory. 19:6, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And where do you know that line from? The Hallelujah Chorus. That's what they're singing. 19:6 and the two other verses in Revelation. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Christ has won the victory. So here in verse 14, Christ has won the victory for his people. He brings his people near to Yahweh, and we praise Yahweh for his redemption, but also for his creation. So look at your English Bible. You know, do you like Psalm 148? Praise him. Does it bring a smile to your face? You know, look out the windows. Or if you're at home, look out. Yeah, you got windows at home, I guess. You know, there's creation out there. Does it bring a smile to your face to say, the God who saved me through Christ also made all that stuff and continues to make it work? Or again, look at your own body and how God put that together. At one level, that's amazing, but it's more amazing when you know it was God, your Savior, who did that. And the Bible, in many places, wants that to bring joy, kind of a happy thing, where believers down through centuries have sung songs with joy about God being our Creator and our Redeemer, but here, primarily, the Creator. Okay, let me give a little church history comments. Psalm 148 was used. Okay, the book of Daniel was written about 500 BC, and about 400 to 500 years after that, the book of Daniel, some Jewish people who were writing in Greek said, hey, I want to add some stuff to the book of Daniel. So additions to Daniel. This is not part of scripture. Additions to a Daniel. And if you have a Roman Catholic background or Eastern Orthodox, this would be part of the Apocrypha. So what they did was they said, hey, in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are stuck in the furnace. They said, hey, you know what would be a good thing while they're in the furnace? They ought to sing a psalm. So they wrote something called the Prayer of Azai and the Song of the Three Men. And it's stuck, they stuck it right in there. It's about 70 verses right within the book of Daniel. And they primarily follow Psalm 148. Let me read to you from that. Then the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as one mouth praised and glorified and blessed God in the furnace, saying. Now, instead of the praise, they used bless. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing praise to him and highly exalt him. Bless the Lord, you angels. Bless the Lord, the waters above the heavens. Bless the Lord, all powers. Bless the Lord, sun and moon, stars and heavens. Bless the Lord, all winds, fire and heat, dews and snows. Bless the Lord, lightnings, clouds. The next section, about the earth. Bless, let the earth bless the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Bless the Lord, mountains, hills, all things that grow, sea, rivers, whales, birds, beasts, cattle. Bless the Lord, you sons of men. Sing praise to him. Highly exalt him forever. Bless the Lord, O Israel. Matching our verse 14. Again, not part of scripture, but they thought Psalm 148. That'd be a great psalm to sing if you're in a fiery furnace, because God's controlling everything. Also, if you don't mind, another place in church history is, take out your bulletin, is the doxology. So you got to skip, go a couple pages here. So if you're at the Bible text, then the next one's going to be Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And then at the bottom, it's going to say Benediction, Doxology. You with me here? Okay, the doxology was actually written by an Anglican bishop in 1709. And it's actually a big, it's about 12 verses. And this is actually the final verse of that song, which interestingly, if you, well, let's see. We don't have the hymn books in the pew. Okay, so no sense in looking at it. Okay, let's look at the doxology. 1709, these words were written. The tune that you probably know, "Praise God for whom all blessings," that tune is from 1551. Calvin's musician, Louis Bourgeois, made that up. So it's a Presbyterian tune, 1551. But in 1790, I know this is confusing, 1790, they put these words together with the tune that you know. And that caught on like wildfire. Then everybody started using that tune with the doxology. So let's look at the words. Written by Thomas Ken, an Anglican bishop. He didn't say he used Psalm 148, but it looks like he did. Praise, you can see that. Well, God, well, or Lord, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, notice the praise him, all creatures here below. So he starts with the earth. Then look what it does. Praise him above. Ye heavenly hosts. See, it's everybody. The above, the below. And then the Trinitarian statement. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, let's talk about the ARP for a second. Okay, now go in your bulletin to where it says Psalm 110, or number 110. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Now, Psalm 148 has been sung by many, 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 many believers down through the ages to many, many, many different tunes. And then the ARP, in sort of our most famous hymn book called Bible Songs, which is a Psalter adjusted, I might call it, we actually had six tunes in the famous original hymnal, six of them, of which two became famous. And if you happen to have some ARP history background, the two famous ones in Bible songs would be 313 or 26 in the back. Probably nobody knows what I'm talking about. That's fine. Now, the 313 one got into the Trinity hymnal. So that's what you're seeing there, page 110. That's the ARP, one of the two famous versions of Psalm 148. So let's look at it. So verse 1, and where the stanza 1 is really going to be the first four verses. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Jehovah is an older way of saying Yahweh. But you can see it started out, hallelujah, because that's how the psalm starts out. Praise him from the heavens. Praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels proclaim. All his hosts together. Praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens and floods above the sky. So there you see, he's just falling right through the psalm. And then stanza 2 is, well, the first half of it is the chorus, the first chorus. Let them, meaning the heavens, praises give Jehovah. They were made at his command. Them forever he established. His decree shall ever stand. And now it goes to the earth part. So I'm in the middle of stanza 2. From the earth. O praise Jehovah, all ye seas, you monsters, that would be the whales, all, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds, that hear his call. And let's go to verse stanza 3. And this is the continuing the earth stuff. All you fruitful trees and cedars, all you hills and mountains high, creeping things, and beasts and cattle, birds and heavens fly, kings of the earth, and all you people, princes, great judges all, praise him, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Now, typical of the Bible songs, it'll have in itself a chorus, which a lot of times matches a chorus in the psalm. So if you turn the page, now you'll see the chorus, which is verse 13. Which matches, because that is a chorus in the psalm. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. There's nobody higher than God. And his glory is exalted, his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth, should say, and heaven, but to make it rhyme, it said sky. We'll give it to him. That'll be okay. And hopefully you'll like the tune when we sing it in a minute. Okay, back to Psalm 148. Conclusion. Psalm 148 says to God's covenant people, you're saved by grace. You're saved by the horn. And let's praise God for many reasons. One, his creation, providence, abilities. And Psalm 148 says, let's do it with joy. And Psalm 148 plays off of the hallelujah word. Hallelujah, hallelu at Yahweh, and then hallelujah, six times. Now, many people down through the ages latched on to Psalm 148 with different tunes and different uses. And the ARP happened to have sort of two tunes that we historically used it. Psalm 148 reminds us of creation. As you drive home today, you look out the window, smile. God, your God, the God of the Bible, made all that. And he made it to say, God is great. Further, that great God saved us sinners by the work of the horn, the Son, and applied it to us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, I hope you have joy reading Psalm verse 13. Look at 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and the heaven. Hallelujah, God the Creator. Hallelujah, God the Redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us joy. Give it based on the work of Christ and through the Holy Spirit applied. I pray this in the name of Christ, who was our Creator and our Redeemer. Amen.